Happy Monday, everyone, and today is a Minisode Monday. What's going on, guys? How's everything?
I'm pretty good, but how are you guys? This is your first official episode as a married couple.
This is true. We're good, I guess. The first week was more of a... It's so funny. The week after the wedding was still a blur because the house is a mess and we still haven't opened up any wedding gifts. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not true. We've opened them up.
Most of them, but they're still in their cardboard boxes. We haven't taken them out yet and put them in.
You haven't enjoyed them.
Exactly.
Well, as you can see, you know, it's been quite a hectic time. And so we're not prepared to give you a full-length episode yet. But there's a lot to talk about in terms of news and just the overall climate for remakes, reboots, and revivals in our culture. I mean, it's the end of February. If you look at the box office so far this year, half of the films are either remakes, reboots, or revivals. And when I say revivals, I mean kind of sequels or something that was dead for more than 10 years that has been revitalized, whether it's an adaptation or not. Mm-hmm. So we're just kind of overwhelmed with stuff. We were even thinking like, oh, could we do an episode this week? And we just, there's so much to choose from. And that was in movies alone.
Just in movies, because there's actually a few TV shows that we haven't even talked about covering.
There was like a lot of things that we haven't done, you know, like one thing that we got a couple listeners that we wanted, that wanted us to cover this. We didn't do Mad About You. And I don't think we're going to be able to do that.
Who wants us to do Mad About You?
Some of our 40 plus listeners.
Okay. Sorry, guys. I was never a big fan of, I like Dharma and Greg more than Mad About You, so.
Is there a comparison of those shows?
They came out around the same time. It's basically like a blonde and a Jewish guy.
No, Mad About You lasted for like 8 seasons. Dharma and Greg lasted for like 2.
Yeah, I think Dharma and Greg was a better TV show.
Okay, but still, like, if you look, there's Fantasy Island, which was based on a 70s show that I don't even know much about, because this new one is a horror film. Was the Fantasy Island a horror TV show?
It was, I would say, it's one of those, be careful what you wish for. So everyone that comes to the island has a specific thing that they want, a dream to live out, or something they wish they could change.
Yeah.
And the host, Mr. Rourke, he creates that opportunity for them to experience it with whatever magic he and the island has. And that's what it, people live out and they kind of realize, maybe I don't really want this. Or they have they go through the experience and the idea is they become better people. Or at the very least, they become changed by the experience.
Interesting.
So there are points that is like, oh, mysterious, or it could be, oh, this is a little creepy. But it's never like, oh my God, I'm not going to sleep.
Is that when the little guy's there?
Well, he plays his assistant, and he does the cue, the plane.
Mm-hmm. Why does he say that?
Because the planes are arriving, and that means that there's guests coming.
Yeah.
I've never watched this show at all, so I have no idea.
So you have to...
You've never seen any of the
parodies? You have to be invited to the island.
I know the plane, but that's it. Oh,
so,
okay.
So it's only visitors that come to the island, and it's always an exciting... It always seems to be an exciting thing when the visitors come.
Okay.
You know, to the resort, and...
Is that somewhere where we're considering to go for our honeymoon? To Fantasy Island?
Be careful what you wish
for. I know, exactly. That's the whole theme of the show.
Fantasy Island actually used to remind me a lot. So, I feel like, you know, the island Dr. Monroe?
Yeah.
I feel like trope-wise, Mario? It has very similar stuff. No, Mario. Monroe.
I think it's Mario.
Oh, Dr. Island Dr. Moreau?
Moreau. It might be Moreau. Oh, okay. Yeah. With Johnny Depp.
Val Kilmer. It's Val Kilmer and Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando's in it.
So Marlon Brando is more or less the Ricardo Montalban character who is from the original Fantasy
Island. I don't think so. I think Fantasy Island is more what if people found the island lost and commercialized it and utilized its specific natural powers as a commercial resort. So people get to live out their dreams. Because, you know, in Lost, the island created, moments where people got to face something about their past.
Yeah.
You know, whatever way, like a black horse in the middle of the island made you think about something I did when I was a kid, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that's what Fantasy Island is about. It's not per se an experiment of hybrids, but more an opportunity to people to reflect on their their mental state.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That does sound like it would make a good horror movie then.
So. And yet critics were none too pleased with this movie because the critic consensus of Fantasy Island on Rotten Tomatoes is, quote, Fantasy Island tries to show audiences the dark side of wish fulfillment, but mainly serves as a cautionary tale about the dangers of exhuming long-dead franchises.
Ooh.
What a burn.
That is. It's almost as bad as the Doolittle rating. Actually, no, it's worse. Doolittle got 14%.
Really? 4%? Yeah. That's a bummer. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I mean, if you think about it, right, Fantasy Island kind of, theoretically speaking, should lend itself more so to the horror genre, and yet it just could be, I don't know, Blumhouse could be very hit or miss.
Yes.
Sometimes I really do like their stuff, sometimes I really don't. So
like Black Christmas, which we covered,
which was one of those like, oh, I kind, again, that was a movie where I was like kind of 50-50 even throughout the whole movie, where I was like kind of like here for half of it and then the other half I was
so much potential.
Yeah So that's right, I forgot that we covered a Blumhouse already on this podcast and so yeah, they're they were going really hard on like those kind of. Blumhouse is responsible for like the Annabelle stuff, right?
Yes, I believe so.
So yeah, so they milked the shit out of that, and now they're just going to like all these old franchises and just making new adaptations.
Yeah, they're
going to
ruin their reputation if they keep this up.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you go by Rotten Tomatoes ratings, which a lot of people do, and you look at them, I think that right now, just looking at a weekend box office chart of the last weekend of February, you can see that the highest rated films on Rotten Tomatoes are not part of the remake, reboot, or revival culture, with the exception of Little Women.
Mm.
Parasite, the Oscar winner, has a 99% rating. 1917 has 89. Knives Out, 97. All original ideas. So if you look at some of the remade, rebooted, and revived projects that are currently in the box office, there's Doolittle, which we covered, which I said has a 14% rating.
Mm.
Really bad. Downhill, which is an American remake of a Swedish film called Force Majeure. 39%. Not very good.
It is Swedish?
Yes.
Okay.
Gretel and Hansel. That's a movie that exists. 63%. I think it debuted at number...
That's higher than I thought that movie would...
That's higher than the rest.
That's like a higher...
Yeah.
That's like above average.
It is. But I feel like I didn't even know this movie really existed. It kind of came and went. Not really.
Well, it might be a Blumhouse.
Really? Even the new Star Wars... which that is a revived property, has only a 52% rating.
Mm.
I would say the highest so far might be the threequel, as they say, for the new Bad Boys movies, which is at a 77%.
Wow, that's pretty, that's certified fresh.
But that is certified fresh. But a lot of these, the best ones that are here are all original ideas. What do you think this says about our culture? Even though they keep turning out constantly these remade, reboot, and revivaled projects, you know, like...
But at the same time, like, no one knew that, well, hang on, a lot of Americans didn't know that Downfall was a remake.
Downhill,
Downhill.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that either until I was reading the reviews for it, and then I found out, it was like, oh, it's a remake for a Swedish film.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that would be interesting. We wanted to cover it, but we just didn't have time this week to do that one. So maybe down the road, maybe when it comes out to tape or something, because I don't think that's, I don't know, who knows.
Yeah.
Even Fantasy Island itself, it wasn't marketed, like, as a remake and stuff, and
mm-hmm.
that's the interesting thing, right? Like, a lot of these properties aren't being marketed like, you know, they're like, we're taking this old franchise and just like pushing them as like some new ones, unless it's like a well-known thing like Mulan coming up. We know that was a remake.
Yes, even though I'm sure Fantasy Island has like those like winks in there where like at one point someone goes the plane, you know,
so
and somebody's probably named Ricardo in honor of Ricardo Montalban. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's like we're not hiding the fact that these are something that's from a previous idea, these
right.
properties, which I think, I feel like watching the trailers of a lot of these films, that's what they're kind of thriving off, is that you know this, you're familiar with mm-hmm. this, so go see this.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like it's working less and less in some respects. In other respects, it seems like it's working more and more, as in like the Disney ones, because mm-hmm. they're making out more per year. Last year, there was three theatrical films.
But we hated them.
Well, you hated Lion King especially, which was surprising.
I hated Lion King.
We really liked Aladdin.
Yes.
Oh, we liked Aladdin.
Yes.
Fine.
Yes.
But then Lion King came out.
Yeah.
And then, what's it called? Then Lady the Tramp.
Well, that wasn't theatrical. Mm-hmm. Mary Poppins still, had come out.
Mary Poppins even there was like kind of a weak one, but it was still like, I think that one just really hung by the performance that was Emily Blunt.
That's true.
You know?
Well, Aladdin had a purpose. Lion King didn't. Look at, I'm anticipating Mulan, which kind of does have a purpose as to its being remade. And I think it actually will, might be a better film. I'm calling it now. I might enjoy it better.
I feel like so.
I feel like, yeah, I will.
It doesn't have a Mushu. It doesn't have musical numbers.
But it's, it just does, like, have really probably an epic battle scene.
Yes.
I don't.
And people are going to eat that up.
I mean, yeah, sure.
I know that that was
a
talk.
I'm here for these battle scenes, but like, I'm not. Like, you're taking away Mushu, which was, I think, one of the best parts.
And by taking away Mushu, you're actually going to give the arc of Mulan, you're going to tell it a lot better. Because I feel
Mulan
like...
Mulan had a great arc. With or without Mushu? Like,
that movie felt rushed.
A short film.
Uh-huh.
You know what would
the
be great?
Musical numbers were good, not that strong. Hopefully they'll make them better.
There's no musical numbers.
There's no musical numbers?
No musical numbers.
Then why, according to Wikipedia and IMDb, is it a musical film?
It's not. It's supposed to be no musical numbers.
Ooh.
Wikipedia might be misinformed on that one, but according to, I want to say, Hollywood Reporter, there was no musical numbers in this film at all.
Oh, that might be.
So it's taking away like two of the best songs, which is like Reflection. And
I hate that song.
It's not my favorite song, but my favorite one is Let's Get Down to Biz.
Yeah, that's Make a Man Out of You.
And Make a Man Out of You.
Yeah. Well, Donny Osmond isn't going to be in the movie, so why have that song?
I forgot that was Donny Osmond. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But then that's just movies. I mean, what about TV?
So, in terms of TV, we haven't talked about, for example, it hasn't even shown up in our radar, but mm-hmm. High Fidelity is a Hulu original that is a remake of the
film.
Of the film.
When did that come out?
Like, on Christmas. On not Christmas. On Valentine's Day.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, they also have Four Weddings and a Funeral.
We wanted to
ask you. Is
double check on that.
Well, that's the thing. Have you guys seen Four Weddings and a Funeral?
I've never seen the movie. I've heard of it.
A long time ago. Well, I was looking at it too, and I'm like, I'm not really sure where this falls.
Is it just by name alone, or is it like...
I think it just takes it and it expands it. So it might be an adaptation instead of a remake.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I don't know. It's a little hard. But then that's also what High Fidelity would be.
Well, High Fidelity makes more sense, right? Like, going... visiting all your exes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can make a whole episode out of each time you see those exes and stuff and build a whole storyline around it. So all it is taking that story. They flipped the gender and racial role, right? Because it's not John Cusack. It's Zoe Kravitz.
Oh.
Yeah, so you're already exploring. I might be making this up, but I feel like they're probably going to introduce a bisexual angle on her.
Oh, that would be fun.
Female lovers.
And that would just make a lot of sense.
But I could be making that up. But
do they break the fourth wall?
Missed opportunity. I believe they do.
Okay.
They do. They definitely do, because in the trailer, they do. So we'll make sure we post a link to the trailer. Actually, let me confirm that by just watching it real quick and making sure. No, I remember she talks to, if I remember correctly, she does talk to the camera.
Well, you know, if we're talking about TV shows movies turned into TV shows, you know, a big one has passed us by, Fargo.
Oh, but that also started before we were even recording.
Well, too, a lot of things started before we recorded the podcast.
Yes, High Fidelity, I can confirm it is. Well, we're going to link the trailer, but yeah, she does talk to the camera.
Okay.
The trailer starts off with her talking to the camera.
So I don't know, actually. That's interesting. What do you guys want to cover that? Do you think it would qualify?
Qualify, I think. It is straight up, it is like literally a remake
TV of show remake.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess Four Weddings and a Funeral would qualify then.
Assuming, well, I don't know. I've never seen. I don't know what Four Weddings and a Funeral is. It's a highly diverse cast, I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
And Mindy Kaling is attached to the project. I want to say she's one of the producers.
Oh, hey. Okay.
It's interesting, right? So we're just pulling the veil back a little in this episode. But, you know, TV shows are for sure a harder thing for us to cover because they're much more time consuming and stuff. So I think we should let the listeners let us know. Maybe they do want us to cover High Fidelity or Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yes.
I mean, these are Hulu originals. Hulu is actually coming out with a lot of
content now.
Yeah, that like they're giving Netflix a run for their money. I would say.
Yeah, we should definitely make a few polls on our Instagram and you guys let us know if there's anything that it's like, whoa, okay, you guys seem like you're going to look over this one, but don't, and I want to hear you guys cover it.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely audience participation.
And yeah, we're going to make sure we include Fantasy Island in that one and Downhill.
I guess Bad Boys for Life. It's the most certified fresh.
I was actually, so out of the three of us, I was the only one who was down to do Bad Boys for Life.
I would do it.
I think I was like actually gung ho for it, and everyone was just like, nah. If I remember correctly, when we pitched it, I was just like, all right.
That's so
fine.
Funny. I remember you being like, no.
I might have been no, but like also at the same time, I would have done it.
I would do it.
Maybe I'm just rewriting history.
Yeah, I think so. I think we have the actual text.
That's true. I'm going to scroll it all the way back.
Invisible Man, right?
That's yes. What's coming
out. Is
yes.
that a remake?
Okay, so technically it is.
Uh-huh.
But they're going from the, like, they're taking the perspective of a different character, mm-hmm. his significant other, and then they're turning him into a psychopath. Who just becomes invisible issues. To taunt her.
So it's yeah. more of a remake of
So
Hollow
they're
Man.
Taking, yeah.
No.
Oh, I never saw Hollow Man.
Man with Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon, yeah. Because Kevin Bacon, he was basically a sociopath. Huh. Stalking. It was a little rapey, too.
No, ooh, there gross. Was a rape scene.
No, he didn't rape her. It was definitely, he. It was molestation that she stopped. She stopped. Yeah, she figured out, like, what's it called?
I felt awkward about
it. It was
scene.
An awkward scene. Like, what's it called? She's, like, sleeping, awkward. Right? And then, like, Kevin Bacon's invisible. It's invisible, right? So you don't see. But you just see, like, kind of, like, the hand, like, going up the, what's it called? Up on the upper thigh underneath the what's it called, under the thing. And that's when she quickly moves and, like, you know, I think she smacks the air. Or something. The Hollow Man is a silly movie. That's what I'm saying. So I don't know if it's... Because I know Invisible Man is a book.
Yeah, by H.G. Wells.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know it was H.G.
And it's
Wells.
Part of the monster movie catalog, which includes Dracula, like which we covered a couple weeks ago, Frankenstein, all of that. So The Invisible Man even was included in, at the end of the Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein movie. Mm-hmm. So he's very much one of those monster movie people. And I think Hammer did it too. Like Hammer did Dracula and Frankenstein. But this one is taking a lot of liberties. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting, too, because I think it's just taking the name and it's creating its own story mm-hmm. with, like, Elizabeth Olsen at the helm, which is great because she's a powerful actress. Mm-hmm. I love her.
Elizabeth Holmes.
Elizabeth Olsen.
No.
Elizabeth Olsen.
That's the Olsen twin.
Yeah, she was raped. Sebastian had indeed raped his neighbor. And and it was actually cut out of the film, the whole...
No, the rape scene was cut out.
The rape scene? You just...
There's a full scene?
Elizabeth Moss, by the way.
Elizabeth Moss!
Elizabeth Olsen.
We both had it.
I'm like, who the hell is Elizabeth Holmes? Is that even a person?
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. I was like, it's definitely not that. Elizabeth Moss.
So she was raped. But yes. They cut that scene out.
Yes.
So it was only implied. Like, it was not even like a rape. I think, I'm pretty sure it was just...
Okay, we just need to call it what it is.
No.
It was a rape scene. You just...
Yeah, let's not... Yeah.
It implies a sense of that it did happen. We just don't see it, thank God.
Okay, so it was implied. Okay, I could have sworn that she smacked the hand away and it was kind of like a silly scene.
No, it was...
Okay, fine. So then I take it back. So then there was... I don't remember how it meant. It's a very forgettable movie. The only thing that's actually most memorable about the movie is where the female character is stuck inside a freezer. Right, and so like, what's it called? She decides to kind of take apart anything she can find inside the freezer and like build like a bomb.
Oh
and,
wow!
Like, escapes from it, and I think Scary Movie 2 made the best reference to that movie when they had Cindy's character like locked in the freezer, and then like, she does the same thing, right? Where she tries to build something MacGyver something out of it, and she ends up making like a truck that like bulldozes her way out of it. Oh man, the scary movies are some of my favorite guilty pleasures.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So Elizabeth
Moss.
No, Invisible Man mm-hmm. is what I wanted to say. Yeah, does that count? Do we cover that or not?
I mean, this one I'm going to give to the audience. Oh, we'll ask them again because you guys have a lot of power this week.
Well, I think it's interesting. Another aspect of a remake or a reboot or revival here is where they take the idea mm-hmm. that makes the movie of the story and they put it and give it like a fresh environment
yes.
for it to be explored. So you've had the Invisible Man play a variety of different roles, like the original from the book, as well as him being a character from, what was it, The League of Extraordinary Men? I think he was a character.
Was he?
Yeah, he was a character in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
That
movie flopped hard.
And, you know, then you had, there was an Invisible Man TV show on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So you have a couple of versions of the Invisible Man and the use of the idea of what it is to be invisible and what it is when you don't have to look yourself in the mirror.
If we were to start taking ideas that were based on something and they could kind of qualify for remake, reboot, or revival, oh my god, the world would be our oyster. I know. I mean, remember when you said like maybe we should do Russian Doll, which is essentially Groundhog's Day because it's the idea, and like right. which film or which property tackled this idea of reliving the same thing over and over and over mm-hmm. again.
And then there was Happy Death Day.
And there actually were a couple of others
which too. Blumhouse movie. Actually, it turns out Invisible Man, a Blumhouse.
Oh. Look at that. Wow, they're production. Just everywhere.
And so, yeah, Invisible Man has an interesting history, right? Because that's when, remember when Universal wanted to do its own, like, monsters, like, kind yes. of monsters universe?
This was part of that.
That was supposed to be part of it.
Yeah, but then they just redid it.
Now they redid it.
Yeah, they rewrote it in order to get it made.
Well, you know what it was? The Mummy with Tom Cruise, like, flopped so hard.
So hard.
And what's it called? It just... kind of stop that idea from ever happening, so they kind of rewrote this movie to be a standalone film.
Yeah, speaking of Tom Cruise, we're gonna have to do Top Gun this year.
I'm okay with doing Top Gun.
I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah,
I don't know. Is it because it's like super like
homoerotic? No, I never cared for that movie to be.
And there's planes, right?
So yeah,
there's planes and fighter planes. So I think that's cool too.
No,
it's Jets.
I think I'd be down to, because Top Gun itself is like actually like a fun movie to watch, and it has such a good song, Danger Zone.
Danger Zone. Mm-hmm. Danger Zone. Mm-hmm. Take My Breath Away. I love that song. Yeah. That's yes. a good one.
I almost picked that song as the covers for the covers edition when we did that episode because I hated so much Jessica Simpson's cover.
Really?
Oh god, it's one of my least favorite songs.
Jessica Simpson.
She did a cover of it. Yeah, that was like it got like it made the top 40.
Well, what else is there? Is there any news so far in a remake?
Dune.
They're doing Dune.
Oh, you didn't know this?
Not only the movie.
But the Blade Runner guy, the director.
Denis Villeneuve. I'm actually very much looking forward to that one.
From the young man, the young actor from Little Women.
Ah, Timothy.
Yes.
Timothy Chalamet? Ew, who's he playing?
I think he's playing the main character.
Oh, I'm kind of now... A little less.
You're not into it.
So, I'm not into Timothy Chalamet. I think he's a great actor. I'm just not into like. I don't know.
Wait, he's a great actor, but you're not into him. So what way are you not?
Like
into
he's
him?
Just physically. I think he's kind of like a distracting to look at because he's just like kind of.
So gawky.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like nah, and I feel like the main character should be a little more hunky.
And they're also gonna do a TV series.
Of Dune.
So we know that Dune was also. It was a movie,
mm-hmm.
and it was a miniseries on the Sci-Fi Channel.
And the miniseries is so spectacular. It's actually considered one of the better adaptations of the.
Yeah, so Dune the film was planning, not a hit.
They were planning to do a movie as well as a TV series.
Okay,
is a TV series related to the movie?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So
within that world, it's all within.
Oh,
the world.
Okay, gotcha. That gotcha.
World. I am actually pretty excited for that.
I do. Yeah, Dune. Hopefully we can find like
I want to read the novels. Like go through again. Those yeah,
that'd be thick. Nice.
Yes.
Oh, you'd have to start now.
Yeah,
you would. I have some major news because I had posted it on social media late last night.
Oh boy.
Oh my god! Can you guys even get late last night?
He was super excited about this.
I was. Like Eddie gets it better. He's just like, "What are you typing? What's going on? What are you doing?" I'm just like, "Shh, I'm working." And yes, it is officially confirmed. The cast of Friends will be reuniting for HBO Max. No, HBO Max? Is that, I think that's what it's called. That's like the new Warner Brothers streaming service.
In an episode? In a special? Okay, or so like it's a special.
I hope it's not like, I really hope it's not going to be like a one-off. Like, oh, we're just reuniting the cast to just talk. It's just like, I don't want that. I want like a brand new episode. Even if it's just one episode of just like the Friends all getting together for a birthday party or something. Or like Emma's wedding. Or something. I don't care what it is. Just give me something.
Oh my god, how old would Emma be?
15. But
so no.
No. They
what about Ben?
Guys. Or Ben. Ben. Oh good.
Child
good call.
Bride.
Ben.
Child bride.
No, I was gonna say it's just like it doesn't have to be 15 years to the dot. It could be like,
so like a sultan or something.
It could be like 21 years later, you know what I mean? The one where 21 years passed. And you see the friends all coming together for like Emma's wedding or something. That would be so cute.
You don't think it might be a little sad?
Yes, but I also think it's going to be wonderful. And just to see the whole cast uniting it, first of all, because, I mean, if you just follow them, like their careers and stuff, like obviously right now, the one who's having like her moment again is Jennifer Aniston, who might be getting back with Brad Pitt. What do you guys think about that?
I don't have time for that.
But yeah, Friends are coming back.
Friends.
I cannot wait. I want to see where my friends are. I want to see what they're doing with their lives.
Do you think any of them will have gotten divorced?
No, Chandler and Monica could not have gotten divorced. If anything, maybe Ross and Rachel have broken up.
Because like that's what they break. Do.
Or
yeah, are on a break again.
I wonder what Joey and Phoebe. Oh, that's right, Phoebe. I wonder if Paul Rudd
is gonna be there.
I hope Paul Rudd comes.
Who
back.
Still looks the way he looked?
Yeah, Paul Rudd hasn't aged.
Yeah, it would be weird if it was just like, oh, he just couldn't come. Kind of like when in the Gilmore Girls reunion when Melissa McCarthy was barely in it, and they just kept making excuses for it.
Well, yeah. What was the excuse? It's like her career has really taken off.
Yeah, she is like, she only came back. Yeah, her career's really taken off. It was a good excuse.
It's still the truth, right? Like, it's, mm-hmm. That's a very tongue-in-cheek joke. So I guess Paul Rudd could pull off that joke, too. Where it's just like, his career as a piano player, it's just really, he's keeping
he's just too big for us now, yeah.
I'd be excited for it. I wonder if, because you know the Sprouse twins played Ben. So yes. I wonder if like they'll come back and like reclaim their role as
if they do a wedding thing. We're just now we're assuming.
I mean, we are assuming. I'm writing this for them right here, so I hope that HBO Max is listening. So that way, wait, is it called HBO Max?
I think so.
That's
stupid because it's different than Go.
Oh, are they mixing like HBO Cinemax or something? Because they're owned by the same company.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe. Okay.
I actually think if they do anything, it should just be like a documentary looking back. Ew. You know, on
I mean, don't get me wrong,
15 to 20 years ago.
But like,
I'm a part of like leave them wanting more, and I also think that people might think they want this, and then once they get it, they're gonna be like, I didn't want this, and they're gonna be disappointed. And I think it's gonna be a little sad.
I am ready to be disappointed. I'm ready to be hurt.
Okay, Well, I just think that all the other people, I don't know. It's like I don't want Friends to be tainted for those who just love it so dearly, which it has the potential to. Anytime you kind of revisit anything, you do have the potential of tainting it. I don't think they're going to make it better. They can't. Their reputation is pristine.
That's not true. There's so many ways to make it better.
That's so not true. How?
Joey can come back with like a hot like African-American wife and like two biracial children, because the show suffered from representation. Joey comes out as gay, you know what I mean?
That would also just not fit the show.
Chandler can come out as bisexual or something. You know what I mean? There's so many things Phoebe was basically openly
just
bi.
What just to fit the political correctness like agenda today,
correct the show.
That's how you make that show better.
I'm not saying that's how you make it better. I'm just saying it's just like it opens up opportunities.
Maybe I'm agreeing with Nicole on this one. I don't need my friends to be involved anymore.
You just don't like Friends.
Just they reached their level.
When I
announced happy
the
with that.
You were just like, did not care.
No, yeah, because I've watched it when it first aired. I loved it. I watched the reruns, and then at the point it says, I think I'm good.
It's done. We don't need to see what happened after they left that apartment. You know, it's kind of like we don't need to see Rosemary's baby at the end, because if we saw what that baby looked like, it wouldn't have been as impactful. Actually see what their lives would have been like outside of that apartment, it's not as impactful as what you see in your head.
So did funny, I was thinking about that recently.
Were you Rosemary's baby?
Yeah, about Rosemary's baby and not needing to see its face.
Yes.
Didn't they do a Rosemary's Baby TV show? No.
No,
that
I'm thinking of The Omen.
It did a sequel.
The Omen was a TV show.
The Omen was a TV show.
Yeah, TV show, yeah.
And many sequels. But yeah, Rosemary's Baby is perfect because of that. You know, it's just the implications and that are enough.
Interesting. No, I'm ready for the WB to hurt me here.
I wonder the WB?
Yeah, they're the ones who are producing this.
Really?
Yeah, the Friends of the WB property.
No idea.
No, you didn't know? Okay, yeah. I'm opening myself up to be hurt. You know? Which is a smart way to go with this. So if you guys are fans of Friends, just be ready to be hurt. But just be ready to also laugh, cry. Just everything.
Cringe.
Maybe.
Look away.
Could I be any more excited? No. I don't think I could be. But I am just hotly anticipating this. I was so excited when I saw the news.
Any other properties we're highly anticipating this year?
Well, I'm going to ask you guys, how much do you think they're going to get paid for this?
Oh, way too much.
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about it. It's going to make me cry.
It's going to be like...
no amount of money is enough for them to get them all back together. Any other properties that we're anticipating?
That was my question.
Batman.
Is that coming out this year?
I don't think it's coming out. I think it might be coming out next year, but I'm curious to see what's happening because and we'll put this in the show notes, but they showed like what the new Batman costume might look like, and I'm not crazy about it.
Why?
To my understanding, the costume design for this choice, it's a It's an early Batman, right? It's
yeah.
Batman almost like year one.
Oh, come on, again?
Yeah. I mean, it's a new Batman, and, you know, the studio was very nervous about the way it went with this guy,
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. So I guess they just decided, it's like, no, the way to rectify this is by telling the same story we've told over and over again. So they're telling, like, it seems like they're telling a rehashing of the Batman year one Batman. And their costume, what they're doing is, like, more readily accessible items that, okay. like, some dude would, like, put together and stuff. And it looks kind of, I'm not crazy about the outfit, but
okay.
we'll see.
Do we know the villains? Joker again?
Actually, I believe it's Penguin.
Oh, okay. About time.
I believe Penguin is the one that they have been talking about as a villain. Again, I could be... I mean, you know, when it comes to comic book movies, there's a lot of fan theories and a lot of just, like, wild speculation. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
We don't know.
My information could be wrong. But, no, the costume itself, they did post photos of the costume, and I think there is, like, a behind-the-scenes photo that had leaked. And I'm not very thrilled about this costume, to be honest.
Okay.
I'll still give it a chance. I'm a big Batman fan, so I don't know how we feel about covering that episode, but because we did a whole Batman special. So it's one of those things, right? We're getting to the point where, like, we've been doing this for, like, almost a year and a half now. Where mm-hmm. even strangely, some of the stuff that we've covered is getting redone
yeah.
already.
Yeah.
It's just like, how is that possible?
Yeah. A quick revisit we might do. A minisode about it. But and Eddie said he was looking forward to Dune. Well, I'm looking forward to Steven Spielberg's rendition of West Side Story.
Why?
I'm looking forward to maybe not liking it. I mean...
Are you opening up yourself to the idea of being hurt?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Because there's so many other musicals that need film adaptations and probably others that needed to be remade. And they decided to take one of the greatest film musicals of all time mm-hmm. and remake it. And I want to know why. Mm-hmm. What could this film possibly offer me? Is it going to be any good?
Who's Maria? Is that Camila Cabello?
It's a new right? woman.
Okay, good.
And they have a unknown. I hate that term, unknown.
No. Do you know him?
The name to me is unknown. No. But she's not an unknown person, but whatever. So yeah, I'm just like, also we were just recently in Patterson and
we were literally where they filmed parts.
We were literally, yes. Yes. So it was also like, huh.
This is where me and Eddie got married, guys. We got married at I guess it's a video, like a production studio
mm-hmm.
That they do weddings on the weekends for some reason. But yeah, Patterson was where they filmed large parts of a West Side Story, and
yeah.
the Art Factory is also part of the sets that they use for Art Factory.
Yeah,
which is where we got married. So technically speaking, when you guys see West Side Story, it's like seeing our wedding.
Yeah. Tonight.
Yeah, exactly. During the wedding scene, that was just us.
Look for them in the background, guys. But, I mean, every year, whenever big musicals come out, you know, they have the possibility of kind of resurrecting the musical genre, kind of like Moulin Rouge did and Chicago did for a period. La La Land did. Last year, we had Cats, which could be the film that could end the movie musical craze. But this year, we have In the Heights and we have West Side Story, and they're both going to have strong Latino representation. Mm. So I'm really hoping that this could put us back on the right track to maybe having more movie musicals. Mm-hmm. But... again, I'd still think that out of all the fucking movie musicals you could have made, why West Side Story? That didn't need to be another film version of it. So.
I think we've had this conversation before. What would you have preferred?
Oh, I mean, anything. A different film version of Hello, Dolly. Another film version of a different film version of The King and I. Family Opera, Rent. You know, there's just Wicked now deserves to be a movie adaptation by now, you know?
Really? Rent? They just did Rent that long ago.
I would love Wicked as like a television
Oh, series. It's a television show. Like, what just about like, as an animated just, film?
Like an expand the whole universe of Oz and beyond.
Yeah, that would, well, yeah, because to the book, too, there's so much yeah, so of much. Wicked. And that's a really interesting revived yeah. property that I think should be explored.
As an animated, you know? I could see it working as an animated.
I could see, I mean, to me, I'm like, this feels like a Disney movie, you know, sometimes. It could be a Disney movie.
It could be. I'm surprised that, like, Illumination Studio, like, that seems like yeah. a property that they would pick up to compete with, like, the Disney princesses, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
I mean, the movie's been in production hell, but, like, apparently it's coming out next year.
Oh, well, they've been saying that, like, every year for the past 5 years.
Every year, seriously.
Actually, I think just recently one of their tweets had gone viral because someone, like, retweeted the announcement date, like, which was, like, late last, like, November or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the studio had tweeted that, like, 2 years ago, and then, like, someone just retweeted it recently. Like, this didn't age well.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been any production going on with that movie. What do you think makes it so hard to do?
It could be the production that requires it. But sometimes it's just the stars never align. You know, Into the Woods was in production hell for over 10 years before it finally got made into a movie. Like, originally it was supposed to have Cher.
Goldie Hawn.
I'm pretty sure Billy Crystal, Robin Williams, you know, like that movie musical was supposed to have a big cast back then.
Wow. And you said Rent. Why Rent? Because you didn't like the...
No, so Rent kind of suffered from what I think also Hello Dolly did, which was really poor casting that kind of messed up the whole movie. In Rent, they're supposed to be really young 20-year-olds, you know, who are just kind of like fresh out of high school and just like fresh into adulthood and are like living on the streets of New York. But they casted the original cast members who were well into their 30s, possibly even 40s. So the impression that you got of who these people were completely different.
Like vagabonds.
Yeah. Or just kind of like older losers.
Right.
If you will. Just like in Hello Dolly, she's supposed to be a way older widowed matchmaker. But they had 27-year-old Barbara Streisand play her, and she just looks like a gold digger. Like, it just completely changes everything. Like, why is Dolly, why do people talk to Dolly like she's this wise old woman? She's young, you know? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
You know, Mariah Carey also had that problem with her movie Glitter, where she played like a 21-year-old.
Yeah,
and
see?
She was very well in her mid to late 30s.
Oh, that poor movie ruined her. Seriously.
It's interesting. I was thinking, like, Oklahoma. Do you remember when we covered Watchmen?
Yes.
And they had like a little glimpse of like an all-black cast of Oklahoma.
That would be nice.
I would love to see like an all-black rendition of Oklahoma.
That'd be cool, yeah. And they just had a revival on Broadway that made it more like acoustic, and they kind of changed things. You know, one of the cast members was in a wheelchair.
I actually love that, the soundtrack, the recording.
Yeah.
The opening song is so good with the yodeling and everything.
Oh, for Oklahoma, the new one?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great musical too. So they have so many things that they can do, and they're just, I think just to get proper Latino representation in West Side Story is probably why, and I hope that's enough for me to like it, but.
Yeah. When does that come out?
December.
Oh, wow. Okay. When does In the Heights come out?
Summer.
Oh, okay, good. So that's like a whole, that's almost like a whole year of just Latin representation in, yeah. In musicals.
Yeah. Two.
Well, there's not that many musicals though to like, you know, I mean, how often do musicals come out? They just don't.
Yeah, yeah. That's why. Yeah, so I hope they're big enough and good enough.
Those are interesting, but a lot of our TV shows now are musical like.
Yeah,
at the very least.
Are you thinking of Zoe's Incredible Playlist?
Yeah, just offhand hand that one, and what Glee did in this time
period. Oh, and also that show about the choir, right?
Yes, the choir, yes. That comedy.
And Pitch Perfect and Disney movies, yes. And kids' movies. I mean, you know, our culture needs to fucking admit it already. We love musicals.
Well,
musicals are great. We should have more.
We love singing and dancing. I don't know. I think the idea that people don't like about
singing
musicals,
and dancing equals musicals.
Yeah, yeah. But I think the idea is just like there's kind of this something that's unnatural about like breaking into song and dance. Like,
La La Land?
Right? Where I think that's where Chicago did it right, where they kind of used this idea of any musical number was all in her head.
Okay, that's how they kind of make it acceptable for the audience.
Yeah, it's the way you make it. It's the way you frame these things that kind of make or break a movie.
I never understood why it's so weird for people to break into a song and dance, and why it's not so weird to see a man in a cape, you know, saving the entire city of Manhattan.
Because that like happens.
Because it's fantasy.
No,
it always goes back to the man in the cape.
Happen at any point in time.
And people can break into. You see flash mobs. It's happened.
Oh, that's true. You got me. You beat me there.
The flash mob syndrome. She got us.
People can sing and dance. It's possible. And it's also extend your imagination just a little bit, people.
That's fair. This is fair.
Well, speaking about Steven Spielberg, what's coming out actually very soon on March 6th on Apple TV is a revived Amazing Stories.
Oh, wow.
The 1985, coming from the 1985 show that Steven Spielberg did, the idea of these anthologies dealing with either something science fiction, something
this
comedy,
came around the
drama.
Same time as Twilight Zone.
It has that kind of feel of Twilight Zone, more for with the sci-fi, more less horrorish, more like intrigue or mystery.
Is he involved or not?
Yes, he's
involved. Oh, he's involved.
He's involved, yeah.
Apple got that money to burn.
Yeah.
No.
Do you have an Apple TV subscription?
Hell no.
No?
I would never give up my money.
Yeah.
I don't even want my iPhone.
I was going to say, don't you have an iPhone? Yeah, do you have an iMac laptop?
Again, yeah. Who buys me these things? My company that I work for.
Well, yeah, they make it as that creatives have to use these things. Yeah, but
it's, but I definitely prefer my, I prefer still to this day my Android phone over my iPhone. Yeah. I could like customize it more so than I can do my iPhone and stuff. Although I will say the cameras for the iPhones are superior.
Yeah.
They just are. But, you know, I'm not photogenic, so I don't care.
But you take 1,000 pictures.
Yes. So what? What about it?
So there's just so much coming out. Whether or not every single one of them is a hit, there's just a lot to come out. And we really want to hear from you guys. You know, we kind of took this time to have a mini-sode where we just kind of like talked the talk about it, because we want to know what you guys want to see and what you want to hear, mostly from us to cover. Do you want to hear us do amazing stories? Are you excited about Dune or Batman or Friends or West Side Story?
Okay, obviously, you know, they're obviously excited about Friends. Our audience is excited about Friends.
Or maybe they're like me and they're just like highly anticipating a bomb to ruin its golden reputation.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Are there any films that are currently out right now that you want us to tackle? Any TV shows that are out right now or coming out soon that you also want to hear us talk about? You guys, let us know. Pay attention to our Instagram. We're going to be doing some polls this week, and we want to hear your voices on them at Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals. You can email us your opinions if you don't have social media. We are remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. There's no and in there. It's just remakesrebootsrevivals.
Yes.
@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook. We're not too heavy onto Facebook, and we're really not heavy on the Twitter, but you can find us on those two things.
The Twitter has seen better days.
Yes, we'll glance over at it and see if anybody's hit us up on there.
I'm trying to see. Oh, I'm going to share our results of like what the poll for Friends was.
Okay,
are we ready? Because I have posted this on our Instagram feed. 76% of people are a hell yes, excited for it. Only 24% are, oh God, why? You see that, Nicole? A plurality.
How many of those did you say, Lauren, you better vote? Gracie, you better vote.
I didn't text anyone a single thing about who to vote for. So.
Sure, a likely story.
I did no such thing. I actually never do. That's called unethical.
Yeah, no. But yeah, also, if you enjoy our podcast, it really does help if you leave us a 5-star review. It broadens our horizons to new listeners, and then we can grow and we can give you more episodes that you hopefully enjoy so much. Yes. So look us up on Apple Podcasts, Remakes, Reboots, Revivals.
Yep.
And just, reach out, guys. We really want to hear from you, obviously.
I mean, I love it when listeners reach out because it gets, you know, I love interacting with them. And I love like reading their stuff on here. So please leave us stuff that we can read on air.
Yes, please.
Begging. All right, I think that's all we wrote on this episode.
Yes,
right?
And we will see you guys next week for a full-length episode.
Yeah, let us know what you guys want. Uh-huh. That's basically the premise of this episode. What do you guys want? Help us out. Help us make better content for you guys.
Yes.
All right? And with that said,
stay unoriginal.